Hour, I'm Pete Shagnin. Alliance Defense Fund is preparing its battle plan as the new administration gets set to take over the nation's capital. For more on this story, here's AFN's Charlie Butts.
Washington will be leaning to the left as Barack Obama and liberal Democrats are sworn into office. ADF spokesman Mike Johnson.
Many of them said, including the new president and vice president, that they were committed to pursuing damaging policy changes that will harm Americans. And we're ready to go to court at the Alliance Defense Fund to fight a vast number of these leftist policies that have been promised, and we certainly expect they'll make good on those promises.
He cites some areas that will be watched closely.
The last few decades, there have been some incremental strides made in the pro-life arena, in the arena of defending religious liberty and the traditional family, and all of that is back on the table now. You know, this looming leftist agenda out of Washington is determined to set the clock back and to take away many of the strides that have been made.
I'm Charlie Butts.
A homeschooling mother of seven is encouraging Christian parents to develop mission-minded families. AFN's Allie Martin has this story.
In her new book, The Mission-Minded Family, Ann Dunnigan says most Christian families need to be more mission-focused. She says there are many misconceptions about the term missions.
When I say missions, it's not just, you know, going into a remote village and going around a fire to boogaloo music or, you know, just getting on a plane and heading to a remote foreign land, but it is surrendering to God.
Dunnigan says to be a mission-minded family, a family must first have Christ as the center of everything. And then she says a family's priorities will change.
There are people who do not yet know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. There's millions and millions of people around the world who've never even heard of Jesus Christ. And as we give our kids a real understanding of this, and as we embrace it for ourselves, then it makes a difference in how we spend our money. It makes a difference in how we use our time.
Dunnigan, along with her husband John, run Harvest Ministry, a Christian evangelism and missions outreach. I'm Allie Martin.
A new documentary aimed at exposing the true cost behind global warming hysteria is coming to a theater near you in 2009. The documentary is titled Not Evil, Just Wrong, and is produced and directed by Irish filmmaker Anne McElhenney. She says the film takes a look at the last time environmentalists were successful in persuading people that the world was about to end and the cost of that effort on humanity, and compares that to the modern movement of global warming hysteria. McElhenney is referring to the ban on DDT, a pesticide that all but wiped out mosquito-borne illness in the U.S. and around the world.
But a woman came along called Rachel Carson, who, again, your listeners know very well, I'm sure, the name. She wrote a book called Silent Spring in 1962, where she basically said, well, it couldn't be good. You know, all this use of pesticides, it can't be good. There must be something wrong with it. And they used what's called now, a lot of people call it, the precautionary principle. Let's not jump into this. Let's not do this. Something bad might happen. And because of that, everyone jumped. Everyone decided that this was obviously a bad thing. John F. Kennedy got involved. And DDT was banned.
She says since the banning of DDT, over 50 million people, mostly pregnant women and children, have died from mosquito-borne illnesses such as malaria. McElhenney draws a comparison between the DDT ban and global warming hysteria and poses this question.
Is the cure worse than the disease? Is what they're proposing, an end to the use of fossil fuels, is that worse than any potential warming that we might ever get?
The documentary includes interviews with scientists and global warming skeptics and was recently premiered at the Amsterdam Film Festival with record crowds. Currently, McElhenney is seeking donations to help bring the film to the U.S. On Wall Street, crude oil future prices ended lower on the New York Mercantile Exchange. The near-month contract for the benchmark grade fell 17 cents, closing at $46.79 per barrel. And those are your top stories on American Family News. For more on these stories and for the latest news around the clock, visit onenewsnow.com. I'm Pete Shagnin.
Fight the fight. We are here to equip you. Let our motto be, don't tread on me. LibertyRadioLive.com.
Thank you. You're listening to Cross the Border. That's the name of this program. My website is crosstheborder.org. There you can catch up on these programs. If you've missed any of the last 5 days, you'll find them archived there. You can listen on demand anytime you please. These programs are archived, usually uploaded within 20 minutes of each hour broadcast. The automation is wonderful. So that's taken care of by the computers. They record it and then they upload it to the website. So do take advantage of it. This study, the complete study, Jeremiah, it will probably be weeks before I get the entire study up there, so you can listen to it from beginning to end. But you'll find there previous studies that we have done here on Cross the Border from the Scripture. We are attempting to go through the whole Bible, chapter by chapter, well, book by book, chapter by chapter, and verse by verse. And this is going to be a long project. It's going to take years. I'm doing 2 hours a day, and we've been at it for a little more than a year now, perhaps going on several years. And since I started over again, because I've learned so much, and my Heavenly Father has revealed so much to me, His Holy Spirit is opening up the Scriptures in ways that I never could see things before. So I hope that you're being edified and as much as I am by going through these studies, because these are just as much for me as they are for anyone out there listening. I know how it is. You're hardworking men working to feed your families and doing the things that fathers and mothers are supposed to do, and don't have time to do what I'm doing every day, and that is to go through the Scripture. So take advantage of these studies, download them to your MP3 player, listen to them while you work, make mental notes, go through the Scriptures, and check out what I say when you have an opportunity to. Don't take anything I say for granted. If there's anything that you have questions about or that sounds different from what your corporate teachers are preaching out there, well, do check it out. But don't go to them. Go to the Bible. Go to the Word of God itself. Get on your computer when you have an opportunity and download eSword. You can find that at e-sword.net. Yeah, that's eSword with a dash in there, e-sword.net, and download that, the Bible program there. And with that program, you'll get the authorized King James Version that is keyed to the original Textus Receptus, to the language, which is keyed to the Strong's Hebrew and Greek concordance. And there you can mouse over each word, is keyed with a number, numbering, Strong's numbering system, and you can see the original word, and you can see into the original text that way, because how many of us really know Greek or Hebrew or Aramaic or whatever the original language of the Scripture was? No, we're all pretty much speaking English here. So the King James Version, the authorized King James Version, is the best English version we have out there, and it simply is the best because we have this tool where it's keyed to the Strong's Concordance, so we can peer into the original language itself and search these things out for ourselves and allow the Holy Spirit to reveal more to us that way. Because the Word of God was given to us in the original languages, and the King James Version is a translation of that. And that's a good understanding to have. So the best English translation we have out there is the authorized King James Version at this time. And so I suggest that everyone get that and use it, and have a hard copy of that that you can take wherever you go. And also at the same time, get that eSword on your computer as a research tool so you can check everything out for yourself. Okay, we're in Jeremiah chapter 39 and verse 14. In the narrative here, the Nebuchadnezzar has just taken Jerusalem and broken it up. He has finally taken the city. He killed the king. He didn't kill the king. He plucked out the eyes of the king just after he killed his sons and all the princes and nobles of Jerusalem before his eyes. Then he plucked out his eyes and bound him and carried him off to Jerusalem. I mean to Babylon. And the word was sent out to go into Jerusalem to find Jeremiah and set him free to do as he pleased. That's right. Because the fame of Jeremiah, it was throughout all the land. Though all those nations fought against Babylon and built alliances, they could not prevail. They were turned back by the king of Babylon and the Chaldeans, his people, because they were the sword of Yahuwah. They were in his hand to punish the people of all of those nations for their wickedness. That's right. But Babylon's time would come, and that was foretold too. And I'm sure that the king of Babylon probably heard that part of the prophecy too. I believe he heard it all, but he probably just saw what he liked to see, because that was a very small part of the prophecy that Jeremiah was giving, that Babylon would fall and be punished in its time. But the time was, at that time, was the time for Babylon to be the sword of Yahuwah, of the God of Israel, the creator of all men, to punish these nations for their sins. So he sent, verse 14, and took Jeremiah out of the court of the prison, and committed him unto Gedaliah the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, that he should carry him home. So he dwelt among his people. And I'm sure that his home, where if you go back a couple chapters there, it was that piece of property that he redeemed from his kin in that transaction that was made, and the word of Yahuwah coming to him saying that they would dwell in the land. So that was so the poor of the people, and usually the poor are the ones who had faith and had no position of authority to say anything about what happened in Jerusalem or in the land about. They were allowed to stay in the land and given possession there, as the word of Yahuwah came to the prophet Jeremiah, so it was fulfilled. Okay, so we pick back up the narrative here. It says, now the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah while he was shut up in the court of the prison. So we're kind of stepping back in the narrative here, before the time. And he said, go and speak to Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, saying, and this was the same guy who had him drawn out of the the miry pit, the Ethiopian, Ebed-Melech, and saying, thus saith Yahuwah of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring my words upon this city for evil and not for good, and they shall be accomplished in that day before thee. But I will deliver thee in that day, saith Yahuwah, and thou shalt not be given into the hand of men of whom thou art afraid. For I will surely deliver thee. And of course, the men that he was afraid that he would be given into their hands was the princes of Judah who wanted to slay him. And it wasn't the people of Babylon or the Chaldeans. He says, for I will surely deliver thee, and thou shalt not fall by the sword, but thy life shall be a prey unto thee, because thou hast put thy trust in me, saith Yahuwah. In chapter 40 and verse 1, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord after that Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, had let him go from Ramah, when he had taken him, being bound in chains among all that were carried away captive of Jerusalem to Judah, which were carried away captive unto Babylon, and the captains of the guard, took Jeremiah and said unto him, The Lord thy God hath pronounced this evil upon this place. Now the Lord hath brought it, and done according as he has said, because you have sinned against the Lord. Of course, now he's speaking to all those people that the people, the captain of the guard, are speaking to the people that they took captive and saying that your God told you this was going to happen to you, because they had the word of Jeremiah. And he has brought it. He has done according to all he has said, because you have sinned against Yahuwah and have not obeyed his voice. Therefore this thing has come upon you. And now behold, I loose thee this day from the chains which were upon thine hand. If it be seen good unto thee to come with me to Babylon, come, and I will look well unto it, to thee. But if thou seem ill to thee to come with me to go to Babylon, I forbear. Behold, all the land is before thee, whither it seemeth good and convenient for thee. Go thither, go. So now he's speaking to Jeremiah and his fellows, saying, if you want to come to Babylon, it'll be well with you there. Or if you want to stay, that's fine. Go where you want. All the land is before you. Now while he was not yet gone back, he said, Go back also to Gedaliah the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, whom the king of Babylon hath made governor over the cities of Judah, and dwell with him among the people, or go wheresoever seemeth convenient unto you to go. So the captain of the guard gave him victuals and a reward, and let him go. So apparently he gave him some food, because food was fairly scarce at that time. And he gave him some money and sent him out. And then went Jeremiah to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, to Mizpah, and dwelt with him among the people that were left in the land. So Jeremiah returns to his people that were left there in the land. Now when all the captains of the forces which were in the fields, even they, their men, heard that the king of Babylon had made Gedaliah the son of Ahikam governor in the land, and had committed unto him men and women and children, and the poor of the land, of them that were not carried away captive to Babylon, then they came to Gedaliah to Mizpah, even Ishmael the son of Nethaniah, and Johanan the son of Kerah, and Seraiah the son of Tanhemeth, and the sons of Ephai and Netophathite, and Jezariah the son of Mahakathite, they and their men. And Gedaliah the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, swore unto them and to their men, saying, Fear not to serve the Chaldeans. Dwell in the land, and serve the king of Babylon, and it shall be well with you. So what he's saying is, dwell in the land, farm the land, harvest, the grapes of the vineyards and the fruit of the field, and pay the tribute when they come around to collect the tribute. That's how they serve them. That's how you serve today, isn't it? Most people, I do, where I live, they have property tax, and I know if the property tax isn't paid, I know they will come with guns, and they will rout me out. And I have no choice but to pay those taxes. And when I go to buy something at the store, if I don't pay it, they won't sell it to me. So they have that's a voluntary tax. If you want to buy it, you're going to pay the tax, basically. And the only way you can unvolunteer for a sales tax is to not purchase from those vendors that charge a sales tax. So you have those kind of taxes. And then there's you can sign up for other benefits if you want, which requires more tribute from you. And those are voluntary agreements that you sign up for, or someone signed you up for them, and you're in the midst of that. And perhaps you know how to be made free, and perhaps you don't. Perhaps it's more expedient for you to continue in your voluntary servitude than it is for you to unvolunteer. But that's the position of the land, and that's the way it had always been. You know, I'm sure that even the Chaldeans, when they were under the instruction of Gedaliah here, he says, don't fear to dwell in the land. Don't fear the Chaldeans. They're going to send around and they're going to take tribute, of you. So don't fear to pay them it's like a property tax, basically. You're going to dwell in the land and you're going to produce fruit and they're going to want their cut. Basically, that's it. And I'm sure there were people that, like when the Romans came in, the same thing happened in Judea. The Romans hired men of Judah to collect taxes, and they would call them employees. And the people that they had work for them would be employers. And they had kind of an employment service going. So you could sign up for more benefits if you wanted with the Roman government, which would require more tribute from you. You know, the same thing's going on today. We have a Roman-style government here. If you don't believe me, go to any of your state capital and look at the idols and the gods that they have set up. And it becomes evident what's going on here, that we have a Roman-style government. So it's no wonder that when we get to Nebuchadnezzar's image and we get into prophecy and we see that when at the end times, typified by the Roman iron, because remember, the feet, the legs of iron was Rome, you know, because they used brute force to enforce their government on everybody. There was no leniency with the Roman government, that iron government of iron that stamped everything that came in its place. It's no wonder that today, you know, there's a worldwide government that is typified by iron mixed with clay. So our position today is that we have a Roman-style government, a Roman-type government, where there are some places where you can be stamped, like the iron fist of Rome, which ruled with a rod of iron and had no leniency at all. So you'll see that there are places and times where that type of force is being used in the earth now, and even in America now, for people who will not comply, especially if you volunteered and you're taking benefits and you refuse to comply with your agreement, they come down really hard on you in America. And you may be crying like some of those people out there, show us the law, show us the law. And yes, they will show you the law. They will bring down the iron of the Roman fist on your head and cast you into prison. They may even kill you because you are rebellious. If you want to be free, well, you learn how to be free. Because Paul said, well, if you can be made free, rather use it, slaves. But he said, until that time, you're to serve your masters as unto the Lord. But also we need to learn from Daniel. When your master starts to require you to do something, when he calls you to do something that requires you to break the law of God, then you have to refuse. So that's where you draw the line, slaves. When they require you to do something that breaks or goes against the law of God, then you refuse. They may give you license to break God's law, but they're not requiring. They're not requiring people to get abortions out there. So you do that voluntarily. You take the license. They're not requiring men to marry men and women to marry women, but they'll give you license to practice adultery and homosexuality and to practice abortion. They'll give you license to do that, but they're not requiring you to do it. We're not requiring you to cast in your lot with evil men and to have one purse with them, but they give you license to do that. But when they require you to, at the threat of death or the loss of your life, your limb, your property, or your loved ones, when they require you to break God's law, under duress, then you have to stand and refuse. And that is when it is the most difficult. But that's what Jeremiah did. That's what Daniel did. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did it. And all of those who suffered, all of the millions who suffered and died, were burned at the stake, thrown in dungeons, drawn and quartered and tortured in unfathomable ways. Those that stand up to the sword of Islam and lose their lives because they're required to bow down to another god. That's the time that you have to stand, when it is the most difficult, because then your faith is tried by fire. Will you stand? Well, I'll tell you what. If you want to make sure that you're going to stand in that day, you invest your life into the kingdom of God. And when your investment becomes so great in His kingdom that it outweighs your investment in this mortal life, then you will stand. When your eternity with Him becomes more important than any temporal thing that you have here, then you will stand. When you love Him more than you love your father, than you love your mother, than you love your children, than you love your own life, then you will stand, come what may. Then you will understand the phrase, that scripture that says, fear not him who can kill the body, but fear him who can cast both body and soul into hell. And that's why the fear of Yahuwah is the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of understanding. Chapter 40, verse 9. And Gedaliah the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, swore unto them and to their men, saying, fear not to serve the Chaldeans, dwell in the land and serve the king of Babylon, and it shall be well with you. As for me, behold, I will dwell at Mizpah and serve the Chaldeans, which will come unto us. But ye gather ye wine and summer fruits and oil, and put them in your vessels, and dwell in your cities that you have taken. Likewise, when all the Yahudim that were in Moab, and among the Ammonites and Edom, and that were in all the countries, heard that the king of Babylon had left a remnant of Judah, and that he had set over them Gedaliah the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, even all the Yahudim returned out of all the places whither they were driven and came to the land of Judah. We'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.
Pledge allegiance to the King of Kings, and to His kingdom come, on earth as it is in heaven. One holy nation, and a heavenly Father, grace, mercy, justice for all.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
Government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have
for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Who will tell them if not you?
Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from LibertyRadioLive.com. Order online today or call 559-781-3773.
Now listen to me.
Don't buy the sizzle of that steak until you understand the cost. In other words, don't buy the hype being dispensed by the rare coin pitchman of the alternative media until you understand the full story. FlyingEagleGold.com offers the most private, non-confiscable gold and silver coinage in the world. At very competitive cost, Jeffrey Bennett has been a purveyor of wealth protection, gold and silver bullion, and rare collectible coins for over 17 years. His personal experience reaches back to 1958, and he takes personal pride in putting your interests ahead of all else. To hear the whole story, not the hard sell, you're invited to call Flying Eagle Gold at 623-327-1778. That's 623-327-1778 for the truth about protecting your wealth. Join Jeffrey Bennett each day, Monday through Friday, when he hosts right here on LibertyRadioLive.com. If you'd like to get a copy of this program, you may subscribe at LibertyRadioLive.com for only $45 a month. And you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all the First Amendment Rights Media Group programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you can request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $20. Or any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You can do all this online at LibertyRadioLive.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. Don't do internet, then call 559-781-3773, 559-781-3773, and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at the First Amendment Rights Media Group.
Okay, welcome back. We're in Jeremiah chapter 40 and verse 12. Even all the Yahudim returned out of all the places where they were driven and came to the land of Judah. And of course, the real name of Judah is Yahudah, because that was the land called by his name too. They came to Gedaliah, to Mizpah, and gathered wine and summer fruits very much. Moreover, Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces that were in the fields came to Gedaliah to Mizpah, and said unto him, Dost thou certainly know that Baalis, the king of the Ammonites, has sent Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, to slay thee? But Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, believed them not. Then Johanan, the son of Kareah, spoke to Gedaliah in Mizpah secretly, saying, Let me go, I pray thee, and I will slay Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, and no man shall know it. Wherefore should he slay thee? For all the Yahudim which are gathered into thee should be scattered, and the remnant in Judah perish. And that was a question. But Gedaliah, son of Ahikam, said unto Johanan, the son of Kareah, Thou shalt not do this thing, for thou speakest falsely of Ishmael. Now it came to pass in the 7th month that Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, the son of Elishamah, the seed Royal, and the prince of the king, even 10 men with him, came to Gedaliah, son of Ahikam, to Mizpah, and there they did eat bread together in Mizpah. Then arose Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, and the 10 men that were with him, and smote Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, with the sword, and slew him, who the king of Babylon had made governor over the land. Ishmael also slew all of the Jews that were with him, even with Gedaliah at Mizpah, and the Chaldeans that were found there, and the men of war. And it came to pass the 2nd day after they had slain Gedaliah, and no man knew it, that there came certain from Shechem, from Shiloh, and from Samaria, even 40 men, having their beards shaven and their clothes rent, and having cut themselves with offerings and incense in their hand, to bring them to the house of Yahuwah. And Ishmael the son of Nethaniah went forth from Mizpah to meet them, weeping all along as he went. And it came to pass, as he met them, he said unto them, "Come to Gedaliah the son of Ahikam." And it was so when they came unto the midst of the city, that Ishmael the son of Nethaniah slew them, and cast them into the midst of the pit, he and the men that were with him. But 10 men were found among them that said unto Ishmael, "Slay us not, for we have treasures in the field of wheat and of barley and of oil and of honey." So he forbare and slew them not among their brethren. Now the pit wherein Ishmael cast all those dead bodies of the men whom he had slain because of Gedaliah was it which Asa the king had made for fear of Baasha king of Israel, and Ishmael the son of Nethaniah filled it with them that were slain. Then Ishmael carried away captive all the residue of the people that were in Mizpah, the king's daughters and all the kings and all the people that remained in Mizpah, whom Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, had committed to Gedaliah the son of Ahikam, and Ishmael the son of Nethaniah carried them away captive and departed over to the Ammonites. But when Johanan, son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces that were with him heard of all the evil that Ishmael son of Nethaniah had done, then they took all the men and went to fight with Ishmael the son of Nethaniah, and found him by the great waters that were in Gibeon. Now it came to pass that when all the people which were with Ishmael saw Johanan son of Kareah and all the captains of the forces that were with him, then they were glad. So all the people that Ishmael had carried away captive from Mizpah cast about and returned and went unto Johanan the son of Kareah. But Ishmael the son of Nethaniah escaped from Johanan with 8 men and went to the Ammonites. Then took Johanan the son of Kareah and all the captains of the forces that were with him and all the remnant of the people who he had recovered from Ishmael the son of Nethaniah from Mizpah, after that he had slain Gedaliah the son of Ahikam, even the mighty men of war, and the women and the children and the eunuchs whom he had brought again from Gibeon, and they departed and dwelt in the habitation of Chimham, which is by Bethlehem, to go to enter into Egypt, because of the Chaldeans, for they were afraid of them, because Ishmael the son of Nethaniah had slain Gedaliah the son of Ahikam, whom the king of Babylon had made governor in the land. And chapter 42 and verse 1. Then all the captains of the forces and Johanan son of Kareah and Yezariah the son of Hoshaiah and all the people from the least even to the greatest came near and said to Jeremiah the prophet, "Let we beseech thee, our supplication be accepted before thee, and pray for us unto Yahuwah thy God, even for all this remnant, for we are left but few of many, as thine eyes do behold us." that Yahuwah thy God may show us the way wherein we may walk, and the thing that we may do. Then Jeremiah the prophet said unto them, I have heard you. Behold, I will pray unto Yahuwah your God according to your words, and it shall come to pass that whatsoever thing the Lord shall answer you, I will declare it to you. I will keep nothing back from you. Then they said to Jeremiah, the Lord be, Yahuwah be, a true and faithful witness between us, if we do not even according to all things for which the Lord thy God shall send thee to us. Whether it be good or whether it be evil, we will obey the voice of Yahuwah our God, to whom we send thee, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of Yahuwah our God. And it came to pass after 10 days that the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah. Then called he Johanan the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces which were with him, and all the people from the least even to the greatest. Then said unto them, Thus saith Yahuwah the God of Israel, unto whom you sent me to present your supplication before him, if you will still abide in the land, then I will build you and not pull you down, and will plant you and not pluck you up, for I repent of the evil that I have done unto you, and not be not afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom you are afraid. Be not afraid of him, saith Yahuwah, for I am with you to save you and to deliver you from his hand. And I will show you, and I will show mercies unto you, that he may have mercy upon you and cause you to return to your own land. But if you say, we will not dwell in this land, neither obey the voice of the Lord our God, saying, no, but we will go to the land of Egypt, where we shall see no war, nor hear the sound of the trumpet, nor have hunger of bread, and there we will dwell. I'm guessing that's what they were considering. And now therefore hear the word of the Lord, you remnant of Judah. Thus saith Yahuwah of hosts, the God of Israel, if you wholly set your faces to enter into Egypt, and to go sojourn there, then it shall come to pass that the sword which you feared shall overtake you there in the land of Egypt, and the famine whereof you are afraid shall follow close after you there in Egypt, and you shall die. So shall it be with all the men that set their faces to go to Egypt to sojourn there. They shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, and none of them shall remain or escape from the evil that I will bring upon them. For thus saith Yahuwah of hosts, the God of Israel, and mine anger and my fury hath been poured forth upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so shall my fury be poured upon you when you shall enter into Egypt, and you shall be an execration. Yeah, that's an interesting word, execration. And that means a curse. And an astonishment, and a curse, and a reproach, and you shall see this place no more. Yahuwah has said concerning you, O ye remnant of Judah, go ye not into Egypt. Know certainly that I have admonished you this day. For you dissemble in your hearts when you sent me unto, and this is Jeremiah speaking, for you dissemble in your hearts when you sent me unto Yahuwah your God, saying, pray for us unto Yahuwah our God, and according to all that he shall say, so declare unto us, we will do it. Now I have this day declared it to you, but you have not obeyed his voice, you have not obeyed the voice of Yahuwah your God, nor anything for which he has sent me unto you. Know therefore, know certainly, that you shall die by the sword, and by famine, and by pestilence, the place whither you desire to go and sojourn. And it came to pass, and when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking unto all the people, and all the words of Yahuwah their God, for which Yahuwah their God had sent him unto them, all these words, then spoke Azariah the son of Hoshaiah, and Johanan the son of Kareah, and all the proud men, saying unto Jeremiah, thou speakest falsely. amazing. They go to the prophet, and they say to the prophet, you know, pray to the God of Israel for us. Pray to our God. And whatever he tells you, we will do. And then when he comes back and says what they don't want to hear, they say, you speak falsely. How hard-hearted and stiff-necked can people be? Yeah, they can be very hard-hearted and stiff-necked. They saw that Jeremiah prophesied, and everything that Jeremiah said came to pass, and everyone in all of the nations all round about knew the prophecies of Jeremiah. They knew that they all came to pass. But it just shows you that people believe only in an image of God that comforts them. They only believe in an image of God that confirms whatever it is they want to hear. They only believe in an image of God that allows them to do the things that they want to do. So we have homosexual pastors and congregations now. Why? Because people believe in an image of Jesus or God or whatever they want to call him that allows them to continue in their sin, that allows them to live in their faithlessness. They did not want the hardship of living in the land, of tilling the soil, and sweating for their own bread. They wanted the comfort of city life. So they didn't flee, many of them. And those that did flee to other cities and other nations, when they came back, and all of the conveniences were gone, well, they wanted to go where it was convenience. You know, where they would find conveniences. They wanted to go to Egypt and the other cities round about. And so they went to the prophet because they feared. So they went to the prophet who they knew had prophesied all these things that came to pass before they came to pass. And they said, petition. Petition our God for us that we might go. And they set their hearts on going. 10 days later, Jeremiah comes to them and he says, don't go, because all of these things are going to befall you if you go. And they said, oh, you're speaking falsely. Why did they even bother to go to the prophet if they wanted to be disobedient? And they were going to be disobedient regardless. Why'd they go to the prophet? Well, if they went to the prophet, it was to confirm their wickedness, to have their wickedness confirmed. The Heavenly Father put it in their heart to go to the prophet. So they say to the prophet, thou speakest falsely. Jeremiah chapter 43 and verse 2. Yahuwah our God hath not sent thee to say, go not into Egypt to sojourn there. Jeremiah didn't ask them to come and hear the word. They came to him. Why would he lie? What benefit would Jeremiah have by telling them not to go into the land of Egypt? Why would he even care? Except that he loved the people. He loved his people. That's right. He loved his nation. That's why he would care. Only for their good. But they said, oh, you speakest falsely. Yahuwah, our God, hath not sent thee to say, go not into Egypt to sojourn there. But Baruch, the son of Neriah, setteth on thee on against us to deliver us into the hand of the Chaldeans, that they might put us to death and carry us away captive into Babylon. So Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces, and all the people, obeyed not the voice of Yahuwah to dwell in the land of Judah, or of Yahudah. But Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces, took all the remnant of Yahudah that were returned from all the nations whither they had been driven to dwell in the land of Yahudah, even men and women and children, and the king's daughters, and every person Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, had left with Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and Jeremiah the prophet, and Baruch the son of Neriah. So they came into the land of Egypt, for they obeyed not the voice of the Lord. Thus came they even to Taphanes. They came, then came the word of Yahuwah to Jeremiah, in Tafani is saying, take great stone in thine hand and hide them in the clay, in the bricklin, which is at the entry of Pharaoh's house in Tafanis, and take and the sight of the men of Judah, and say unto them, thus saith Yahuwah of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will send and take Nebuchadnezzar king of Babylon, my servant, and he will set his throne upon these stones that I have hid, and he shall spread his royal pavilion over them. And when he cometh, he shall smite the land of Egypt, and deliver such as are for death to death, and such as are for captivity to captivity, and such as are for the sword to the sword. And I will kindle a fire in the house of the gods of Egypt, and he shall burn them, and carry them away captives, and he shall array himself with the land of Egypt, as a shepherd putteth on a garment, and he shall go forth from thence in peace, and he shall break also the images of Beth-Shemesh that are in the land of Egypt, and the house of the gods of the Egyptians shall he burn with fire. So the pronouncement is that the same thing that just happened in Jerusalem is going to happen to Egypt. And he's telling them, don't go there. And they went, and they obeyed not the voice of the Heavenly Father, but because of the disobedience and the wickedness of their own hearts and their unwillingness to follow after the God, the Creator of heaven and earth, because they were idolaters, and they wanted a God in their own image, after their own likeness, a God that would give them license to do whatsoever they wanted to do, rather than live according to the license that he gave them in his word. And I'm going to tell you what, our Heavenly Father gives us a great license. In his law we have liberty to do everything and anything we want, except to worship other gods, except to do wickedness, except to do those things which, you know, as long as we love him and love our neighbors ourselves, we can do whatever we want. That is the great liberty that we find in his kingdom. That is the liberty of the sons of God. It's the true freedom on the face of the earth. And that freedom and that liberty can only be found in him. And it can be found in him no matter what your position is in life, no matter where you're at, that liberty can be with you. And in a nation that is governed by that liberty, as America was in the beginning, as expressed by the beast that had two horns like a lamb, yes, those lamb-like attributes made this nation great in the liberty that God has given to men, in a laws that established this nation that came out of the law of the Holy Scriptures. That's the kind of liberty. But they wanted other liberty. They want license to do those things that his word does not license us to do. And in the scripture, that sin is called licentiousness. Licentiousness. Permission to do that which is unlawful. So they went to Egypt, and Yirmiyahu pronounces the judgment. The same judgment that came on Jerusalem is and Judea or is now going to come on Egypt. He shall break also the images of Beth-Shemesh that is in the land of Egypt, and the houses of the gods of the Egyptians shall be burned with fire. The word that came to Jeremiah concerning the Yahudim which dwell in the land of Egypt, which dwell at Migdol and at Tahpanhes and at Noph and in the country of Pathros, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, you have seen all the evil that I brought upon Jerusalem and upon the cities of Yehudah. And behold, this day they are a desolation, and no man dwelleth therein, because of the wickedness that they have committed to provoke me to anger, and that went to burn incense and to serve other gods whom they knew not. Neither they, ye, nor your fathers. And you've heard it said, judgment begins in the house of Yahuwah. So it did. So Jerusalem was punished first. But remember the words of the prophet Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah, the prophet to the nations, he called himself. And he prophesied that Babylon was the sword in the hand of Yahuwah to punish Jerusalem. Of course, he began with his own house, and to punish all of the nations round about. So that punishment, that same sword, was now coming against Egypt. And he warned all those who fled to Egypt to come out, to not go there, because that punishment was, but in disobedience, they would not believe the prophet, the word of Yahuwah through the prophet Jeremiah. And so they fled to Egypt. And they wouldn't come out. Those that were there and heard the word would not come out. And I'll tell you what, when I hear the word of my Heavenly Father, and I am sure that it's from Him, I will come out of the land where I dwell, and I will go wherever He sends me. And if He tells me to speak that word over the air, those that hear it, well, they'll go and they'll do whatever He says. When the word comes to you, when the word comes to me, will you leave? Or you say, oh, it's too hard to leave. Oh, I'd have to leave my job. I'd have to leave this and that. And oh, what a hassle it is to leave. I may have to abandon all I have worked for and all that I have acquired. That's what basically people don't want to do, do you? Nobody wants to do it. But what is more important? The things that you've acquired? The things that you cannot take with you when you go? Or is your allegiance to Him and His holy nation more important? Choose this day whom you will serve. Cross the border into His kingdom and live forever. You've been listening to Cross the Border. In everything you do and everything you say, as always, hallelujah.
Let's just sing it to Him.